The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Today is the day that Joe Biden becomes President of the United States. Now, later on in the program, we'll be talking about the departure of Donald Trump, what he leaves behind, and his pardons and all the rest of it. But today is, without doubt, for many, the most anticipated inauguration ever. For others, of course, it's a great disappointment and an outrage because they believe the election was stolen. But while political partisanship is never far away from this day in January every 4 years, when a new American presidential term begins, this one is different for so many reasons. And here to talk us through what makes it different and to bring us back through the history of inauguration ceremonies, we have News Talk's Simon Tierney. Simon, good morning.
Morning, Pat. How are you?
I'm very well. Now, US presidential inaugurations are usually attended by hundreds of thousands of people. This year, inevitably different due to the pandemic. So what can we expect at the inauguration today? How will it play out?
It will be very different, as you say. I mean, Obama's inauguration was attended by almost 2 million people. And of course, who can forget the controversy over Trump's claims of a bigger crowd 4 years ago and all the business that was associated with that. But it's hard to overestimate, Pat, what an important day this is for Americans. The United States doesn't have a long history relative to us here in Europe, but the traditions that they do have, they hold them very close to their hearts, indeed almost sacred. The tradition of the parade down Pennsylvania Avenue as the new president makes their way to the White House, the 11 different inauguration balls on the night of Inauguration Day, all those things will be swept aside today because of COVID restrictions, of course. And the other big thing is that the threat of violence is still very much on the surface. There are 25,000 National Guard troops now in the capital, more than there are in Iraq and Afghanistan combined. Quite extraordinary.
Joe Biden was supposed to arrive from Wilmington, Delaware, in a sort of a, I suppose, retro style, wasn't he?
Yeah, I love this. And unfortunately, it didn't happen because of, the threat to his safety, unfortunately, which is overshadowing so much of this. But he was called Amtrak Joe for a lot of his career in the Senate because he used to travel from between D.C. and Wilmington every night to wish his children a good night, a good night's sleep. There's a huge amount of tragedy in his family. His children lost their mother at a young age when he became a senator in 1972. So that's not going to happen. DC, he arrived last night with Vice President-elect Harris into the Green Zone, as it's called. Perhaps an unfortunate name for what DC has become, because this is what, of course, the secure zone in Baghdad was called during the Iraq War. But
Simon, I don't know whether you caught this, but normally the president outgoing provides a plane for the incoming president to come from whatever part of the country they're living in to get them to Washington. Trump wouldn't sign that. So Biden and his team had to organize their own private plane.
Yeah, I mean, this is typical. There's been so little help from the Trumps. I mean, it's extraordinary. I was just listening to Trump's inauguration speech 4 years ago, and he makes special mention in that speech of the huge gratitude he had for the help that the Obamas had given in creating a smooth transition. That hasn't happened this time. All this talk of a smooth transition of power, a peaceful transfer of power, that has not happened. There hasn't been a peaceful transfer of power. If anything, there's been a very fraught and violent transfer of power. And that's something that really upsets Americans. And we'll be hearing a lot more of that today. But in terms of the inauguration, I think it'll start probably around 4:30 p.m. Irish time, past 4:35 p.m. There'll only be 1,000 people, or just over 1,000. Each member of Congress will be there, of course, plus one guest, plus Vice President Mike Pence will be there. And the parade and balls won't be happening, but in their lieu, there will be a TV special tonight on American television hosted by Tom Hanks and a whole host of stars, including Bruce Springsteen, John Legend, etc.
Now, we know that Donald Trump will not be attending. In America, how big a deal is that for the outgoing president not to show up?
Well, as I said, I think it is a really big deal. You know, the last time that this happened with a one-term president was George H.W. Bush, Bush Sr., when he was defeated by Clinton in 92. So that was the inauguration on this day in 1993. And of course, Bush Sr. was there. He left a very kind and gracious note for his successor in the Oval Office. No word yet if Trump has left a note for his successor in the Oval Office. I think we probably know the answer to that question already. It's interesting you think back to 4 years ago, Pat, those images of Hillary Clinton arriving on the stand, standing behind Donald Trump. And people were wondering, will she turn up after such a bitter campaign for president? And people praised her resilience for standing behind the man who defeated her. That showed incredible courage. And there's something rather pitiful about Trump choosing not to be there today. Of course, in a couple of hours' time, he will be holding a farewell event, which he seems to have basically organised himself, at Joint Base Andrews in Maryland, just a short flight from Washington, D.C. He did invite his vice president, Mike Pence. Mike Pence confirmed late last night that he will not be going to Joint Base Andrews to send off Trump, and that he only has one event in his diary today, and that is to be a guest at the inauguration of the 46th president of the United States.
Now, there were other disgruntled presidents in the past who didn't show up, but it's a long time ago since the last one.
152 years, Pat. That was, well, the first one, of course, was John Adams. Martin Van Buren, who I don't know much about. John Quincy Adams, son of John Adams, and Andrew Johnson in 1869. So this is a real break in American convention, and that's why I think it's going to ruffle more than a few feathers. Mm.
Now, the history of the inauguration ceremony, do we know when first they started it? Because, I mean, they founded the state in 1776. So how long before they started to develop this ceremonial?
Yeah, it's interesting. Quite a few years before the first one. The President George Washington was inaugurated in 1789 in New York City, which was the seat of government at that time. In those days, inaugurations happened in April. It wasn't until FDR in 37 that inaugurations moved to January, because I suppose, Pat, it took a long time for electoral results to come through. It also took a long time for people to travel to the city where an inauguration was taking place to celebrate that day. Then they moved to Philadelphia, which became the federal capital for a number of years. John Adams was sworn in there. And then George Washington decided that there needed to be a federal capital for the United States, that, you know, in the post-Civil War period, you couldn't have a situation where one particular state had responsibility for the security of the Congress. So they created a federal district, the District of Columbia. Columbia, the old name for the old kind of personification of America coming from Christopher Columbus, of course. And he designated a 100 square mile site on the Potomac River. And this was named in his honor as Washington, District of Columbia, D.C. And the first inauguration took place there in 1801, and that was of America's third president and founding father, Thomas Jefferson.
Now, in the 19th century, Americans didn't get to attend unless they lived somewhere nearby, you know, a horse ride or a coach ride away. They had to read it about the inauguration in their newspapers, or perhaps they didn't read at all.
Yeah, I mean, inaugurations are such a national celebration today. Well, not a celebration for a lot of people, but a national event, certainly. But in those days, they were very remote. The presidency was a far removed office and institution for most American people. The first time it sort of became somewhat less remote was when William McKinley was inaugurated in 1897. He was the first president to be filmed, but of course it took 2 weeks for the film to be processed. Everything changed in 1925 when Calvin Coolidge was inaugurated in Washington, D.C. That was the first time that the inauguration was broadcast on radio, and that reached 23 million American homes. So suddenly, the American presidency was brought into people's everyday lives. And then, of course, Harry Truman in 1949, he was the first president, Democratic president, whose swearing in was televised. Now, we're going to have a listen to some audio on this. First, we'll hear Calvin Coolidge, the first ever radio broadcast, as I said, from 1925, Pat, and then Harry Truman in 1949.
It will be well not to be too much disturbed by the thought of either isolation or entanglement, of pacifists or militarists. The physical configuration of the earth has separated us from all of the old world, but the common brotherhood of man, the highest law of our being, has united us by inseparable bonds with all humanity.
Inauguration Day, Washington, 1949. The biggest inaugural in United States history is ready to begin. Vast crowds line Pennsylvania Avenue, soon to be the main artery of President Truman's triumphant parade. Railroad yards are jammed as more than 500,000 visitors from every state in the Union flock to Washington on this festive Inauguration Day.
Here at the East Portico of the Capitol will shortly be inaugurated the nation's chief executive. This is the 41st inaugural in our country's history, to be witnessed today by some 15,000 here on the Capitol Plaza, and for the first time in history, through the combined facilities of the television industry made visible to millions of Americans throughout the land.
The first half of this century has been marked by unprecedented and brutal attacks on the rights of man, and by the two most frightful wars in history. The supreme need of our time is for men to learn to live together in peace and harmony.
Harry Truman being inaugurated in the aftermath of World War II. Simon, in terms of more modern inaugurations, not everyone actually happened where tradition dictates it should.
No, indeed, not always at the Capitol. It's one of the most extraordinary inaugurations for me, Pat, was an emergency one in 1963. Of course, Lyndon B. Johnson was the vice president to John F. Kennedy and travelled with the president to Texas on November the 22nd, 1963, on that fateful day. And after the assassination of JFK, the first thing that happens in an emergency like that is that the US government wants to safeguard the very fast and secure transfer of power to the vice president. And what happened was that LBJ was brought to Air Force One. They waited for a judge to arrive. And 99 minutes after JFK's death was confirmed, he was sworn in as the next president of the United States. Now, this event was recorded not on television, obviously, because it was so rushed to happen, but it was recorded in the most iconic photograph by Cecil Stoughton, who was JFK's official White House photographer. And it's worth looking at. I tweeted a photograph of this earlier, but you can see LBJ squeezed into the cabin, the forward cabin in Air Force One. He's got his hand up and he's got the other hand on the Bible. There's a judge in front of him, and just to his left is Jackie Kennedy, the newly widowed Jackie Kennedy, wearing her famous pink Chanel suit, which is bloodstained. And LBJ said that it's very important for this inauguration that Jackie Kennedy is there because he wanted to make sure that his presidency was legitimized by JFK's loyalists. And he asked if she would be there, as she was asked, would you like to change your clothes before the photograph is taken? And she said, famously, she said, let them see what they have done to him. JFK's remains were sitting underneath them as that inauguration happened in 1963.
Well, finally, Simon, we're going to play some clips of inaugural addresses. We remember Donald Trump's fairly bleak attitude to the world and to America back 4 years ago. But you've got some clips to assemble for us here. Who are we going to hear?
Well, we'll stick with JFK first, because he's got one of the most famous lines ever from an inaugural speech, which I know you played at the top of the programme. This was a time when the perceived threat of communism was huge, so you can imagine that liberty plays a great role in his speech. But it was very much the passing of the baton. Interestingly, JFK was the first president to be born in the 20th century, so there was a real sense of the moving of the guard, the changing of the guard, I should say. Yeah. Reagan is an interesting one as well. We'll look at a clip from him. And finally, Clinton and Obama. The two most recent Democratic presidents before Biden is sworn in today. We'll look at them as well. Let's have a listen to some of those examples now.
From their home in nearby Georgetown, on this day, January 20th, 1961, Mr. Kennedy and his wife, Jacqueline, come to the White House, where they are greeted by President Eisenhower. For many weeks, the outgoing and incoming administrations have worked together to ensure the orderly transfer of government. Mr. Eisenhower and Mr. Kennedy now ride to the Capitol for the inaugural ceremony.
Let every nation know, whether it wishes us well or ill, that we shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I, Ronald Reagan, do solemnly swear
that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States.
That I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States.
And
so as we begin, let us take inventory. We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around. In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Back now, 8 o'clock on a Wednesday morning, Inauguration Day here in Washington, now just 4 hours removed from Bill Clinton taking the oath of office as the 42nd President of the United States.
My fellow citizens, today we celebrate the mystery of American renewal. This ceremony is held in the depth of winter, but by the words we speak and the faces we show the world, we force the spring.
I, Barack Hussein Obama, do solemnly swear.
I, Barack Hussein Obama, do solemnly swear.
And so, to all the other peoples and governments who are watching today, from the grandest capitals to the small village where my father was born, know that America is a friend of each nation and every man, woman, and child who seeks a future of peace and dignity, and we are ready to lead once more.
And that fascinating report from Simon Tierney.